So this morning, we're continuing in our series of My Life of Prayer. And I must admit, I was a bit nervous when I first saw it, because it suggests a whole life spent in prayer. And I have to admit that I do fall a bit short on that score. And I also have to admit that because I'm a bit ditzy, we should have had a lovely backdrop this morning of a picture that I took a while ago in Kiev. I was in a monastery there, lots of cathedrals and monasteries, and there was an amazing statue of Jesus at prayer with the disciples gathered around him, obviously asleep. And I wanted to use it this morning, but we haven't got it. But even better, I believe, God wants you to imagine that scene in your mind. So just take a moment and imagine Jesus in the garden that we heard in our first reading, praying, in sorrow, afraid, and the disciples, his friends, are asleep. So just keep that picture
as we go through this talk. When I was, thank you. Oh, that's amazing. Oh. You need me to start again. Okay. This is this morning for glitches, isn't it?
Yeah. Mostly my fault,
sorry. No, we're not perfect, none of us. I've made tons of mistakes this week. I couldn't even begin to tell you. Okay. Are you ready?
Yeah, thank you.
So this morning, we're continuing in our series of My Life of Prayer. And I have to admit that I was very nervous when I first saw this title, because it suggests a life spent in prayer, and I have to admit that I fall very short on that score. And we were going to have a backdrop this morning of a picture that I took in Kiev of Jesus in prayer with the disciples sleeping around him. But I think it's actually a blessing that we haven't got that picture this morning, because God wants you to see this in your minds. So just take a moment and imagine Jesus in the garden, full of sorrow and fear, and his friends, who he asked to keep watch, are asleep. So just keep that picture in your mind as we go forward. When I was a new Christian, I was given this piece of advice: talk to God as you would to your own father. And that's good advice, because God isn't some remote figure, and we can talk to him at any time. However, my relationship with my earthly father is a difficult one, and that might be the case for lots of people. But what I took from that advice was that, like all relationships, our relationship with God our Father takes time and effort to cultivate and nurture. It doesn't just happen. And in our family relationships, communication is key, especially when we're away from each other. And in a sense, we're all away from home, because Earth isn't our home. Home is the place that Jesus has prepared for us with God. And we need to check in with home from time to time. By way of illustration, back in 2011, my son went off to university, and it was the first time he'd been away from us, well, since he'd been born. And I gave him as much advice as I could, you know, make sure you eat, don't drink too much, preheat your oven before you cook something, separate your darks from your whites when you're doing a wash. Oh, and don't forget to call home once in a while. And it's that checking in with the ones whom we love and who love us even if it is just to say hi, which in our relationship with God the Father is the starting point of prayer. It's basic communication. Calling home to say hi with God, share our joys and discuss our problems. I have to admit that at times my conversations with God have been a bit like my sons are with us, starting with a sheepish, "Hi, I know it's been a while." And that's actually what I've been loving about this series on prayer so far, the honesty from everyone. It's so easy to fall into the trap of looking around church and comparing ourselves to everyone else, thinking that everyone else is super Christian and I'm so lacking, there must be something wrong with me. When the truth is, as we've seen this morning, we're all imperfect. With daily pressures and issues, things get in the way. We're all human. And please don't think that just because I look after the prayer chain here, that I'm a prayer warrior. I really do fall far short of that. I'd love to spend much more time in prayer than I do, but life does get hectic. We have a 1-year-old granddaughter at home. Our daughter hasn't been well, and my work rota is never the same 2 weeks running. So life can be challenging at times. And yet that's exactly why prayer is significant and so essential for us. We need God. I need God to come alongside me in those moments when life is crazy. And I need to praise him when things are brilliant too. And I need to do it more often. And there's also a common misconception that I hear from people I have conversations with about Jesus. And it's that we Christians have got it all together. We have no problems and we've got all the answers. And that prayer is like a magic wand that grants wishes. Well, that's just not true. My response to that is that we're all struggling. It's just that we Christians acknowledge that we're in need of God to guide us, sustain us and redeem us. And we see, of course, in Scripture that even Jesus, God's Son, needed to spend time in prayer. In our first reading today, Jesus goes to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray in the period between the Last Supper and his arrest. And that picture that I was talking about earlier, it shows Jesus in prayer with the sleeping disciples nearby. And I love this passage because it shows four very important things. The first is obviously that Jesus needed to pray. Being the Son of God didn't give him immunity from fear or from feeling the weight of his responsibility. He admits to the disciples, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death." And he cries out to his Father, "If it's possible, may this cup be taken from me." If Jesus needs to pray and to acknowledge openly his fears and needs to his Father God, then how much more do we need to do the same? The second thing is that we see Jesus go through a process here. He acknowledges that he's troubled and needs to pray. He asks for the cup to be taken from him, but states, "Yet not as I will, but as you will." He recognizes that his Father's in control and that what is about to happen is God's will. Jesus returns to the disciples, finds them asleep, and tells them to watch and pray, and then goes away to pray again. Only this time, having told the disciples that the spirit is willing but the flesh is weak, Jesus prays, "If it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done." Through prayer, Jesus comes to accept that obeying the weakness of the flesh is not obeying God's will, and he accepts God's will over his own. So Jesus goes through a process of voicing his fears to God, to accepting what is to come. And then he prays for a third time, still accepting of God's will. So the process of praying is especially important for us when we're faced with something that seems insurmountably difficult. Briefly, I can attest to this. Some years ago, I was ill with anxiety and was told in no uncertain terms to take a break from my church. I was angry with everyone, but especially with God. I raged at him in prayer. But through the process of prayer, God answered. And his answer was that he'd not done this to isolate me, but so that I might spend some time alone with him. So God's will for us might not always be the same as our will for us, stubborn as we are. But the process of prayer can help us to see that. Without prayer, I wouldn't have seen that for myself. And it's also part of that father-child relationship in a way. You can imagine the child throwing a tantrum and saying, "Dad, why can't I do that?" And the father says, "Well, it's not good for you, and you have to trust me on that one." The third thing that this passage illustrates to me is when Jesus says to the disciples in verse 38, "Stay here and keep watch with me." And in verse 41, "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation." The idea of keeping watch with Jesus during prayer is for me that the act of praying is not a passive one. It's not simply reeling off a list of requests like a letter to Father Christmas and waiting to see if we receive what we ask for. It's supporting, engaging with, and being an active partner in our relationship with him. And it's also an ongoing process. We need to be vigilant in prayer. Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. We can ask God for protection, but we also have to do our part and be on our guard. The fourth thing that stands out for me here is that though entrusted with keeping watch, the disciples Peter, James, and John were found sleeping on the job, not once but twice, by Jesus. And that's certainly something I know I'm guilty of too. There are times when I'm not vigilant with prayer because something's going on. Usually family or work stuff that's causing anxiety is a big distraction, and this causes conflict. And yet I know that when I make time for God, I realise that those times are precisely when I do need to be stopping and praying. And the image of Jesus with the disciples asleep makes me see too that while the disciples and we are sleeping or dormant, Jesus is still at work, praying and interceding for us. And I take comfort from the fact that even in those times when prayer is difficult or seems impossible, Jesus is still there. And there are times when prayer is hard. There are times when I just can't feel the words, can't find the words. A couple of years ago, I attended a course run by Sister Rachel, who's a diocesan spiritual advisor. And it was called Travelling in Prayer. And in it, we explored many forms of contemplative prayer alongside learning to be still and listen. It's quite a discipline to be silent for long periods of time and just listen for God. But it did show that words aren't always necessary because God knows what's on our hearts. And I advise anyone who's feeling that they can't pray for whatever reason to just focus on God. Be silent and take sustenance from some time alone with him, even if it's just for a minute, because the healing that comes from that might be just what God intends. So what's my prayer life like? Well, as I've already said, if prayer was on my school report, it would probably say, could do better, or easily distracted. But I've learned as well that I don't need to beat myself up about it. But what I do need to do is acknowledge my need for God and for the Spirit to steer me in his ways. I wish I could say that I got up at 4 a.m. to pray, but I don't. So what do I do? Well, I've tried to adapt and use the time and opportunities God has given to me. And I find that the best time of day is when I'm on my way to work. It gives me time, especially in the early mornings, to be quiet. I'll pray as I walk for whatever and whoever God puts onto my heart. Usually it'll be for my family or friends or whoever the prayer ministry team has a request for our church here at Glen Eagles, for people I see on the way to work. I don't know them, but God does. So I ask God to bless them and their day. I pray for anything in the news that God prompts me with. And I ask God to give me any opportunity to share his love through whatever I'm doing that day, to use me as he sees fit. And constantly, I pray for wisdom and strength because I can't do anything without God's help. And I pray on the bus too. I ask God to bless everyone going to work that day and that they will know his presence in their lives. And I've got a funny story about the journey to work one morning. A few months ago, there was a man who got onto the bus just for a few mornings. He wasn't one of the usual morning workers who get on the bus. He drew wary looks from some of us because he looked a bit dishevelled, with a long beard, and his clothes looked dirty. As we were approaching the roundabout at Rushton Lakes, he got up and suddenly distracted my train of thought. And he moved down towards the driver. And again, he was getting funny looks from some of the commuters because the next stop was a scheduled one, and it goes against the bus etiquette to stand up too early. Suddenly, I heard in my mind that who on earth were we to be so disapproving, and that Jesus is in each and every one of us, and we should welcome everyone because of that fact. At that moment, I looked at the man, and he looked me straight in the eye. And I glanced down and saw he had a carrier bag in his hand. It was white, with bold blue lettering on it that said two words, "I'm back." Now, I'm not claiming to have witnessed the second coming on a bus on the A45. But what I am saying is that through this time of prayer and being close to God, he showed me a well-placed reminder about falling into the trap of being judgmental about people that we meet, and that to reject anyone is to reject the God who loves them, because of course, whatever we do for the least of people, we do for Jesus. By the way, I have never seen the man again since that day. So I also, in my daily life, have had the amazing privilege of people asking me to pray for them. And that's usually in the workplace, seeing as I spend quite a lot of my time there. When people know that you're a Christian, this can lead to some amazing conversations, and sometimes people ask for prayer. I always thank God for trusting me with this, because I just can't believe it sometimes, that he's going to trust me with people's needs. But on occasion, when someone asks for prayer, I felt moved to say, I'll pray with you. And when that happens, I think it's because God needs them to know that they can talk to their Father. And it's not only certain people who have a hotline to God who can jump, or who can jump the prayer queue. I still pray for them as well, but it is a great honour and joy to join someone in prayer. Another great gift from God in my life is the people who live at Southwood House, a residential care home for disabled adults. I worked there a few years ago and came to dearly love the folks there. I always felt blessed to be among them, and I've remained friends with them after I stopped working there. Now, it's a great joy and privilege to go there whenever I can as a friend to chat, socialise with, arrange treats for, and most importantly, to pray with and for them. I can honestly say that this is one of the places where I felt the Spirit at work most strongly. And prayer is also an act of self-care. I do believe very strongly that we need to take time to recharge our spiritual batteries. And it's not always easy to do that in modern life. But in the Gospels, even Jesus made time to withdraw to a quiet place to rest and pray. Luke chapter 5, verses 15 to 16 tells us that Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. And it's equally important that we do too, to focus on our own journey with him. I try to go to my favourite place in North Wales as often as I can. And I'm going there next weekend and I can't wait. But just walking in the quietness of the mountains, being aware of God's presence in creation, is a powerful form of meditation and reconnection with God for me. And I think we probably all have a place which does that for us. And what a gift from God that is. So looking after the prayer chain here is part of my prayer life too. When prayer requests come in, I pass them on to the team as soon as I see them. Apologies if there's ever been a gap, but I'm not allowed to have my phone with me at work. So sometimes it might be a few hours before a request reaches me, but as soon as I do, it gets passed on. And I'll pray straight away or as soon as I can. I try to set aside a time once a week when I light a candle and pray for everyone who's on the current list. But it's also powerful knowing that the whole prayer chain is praying too. And we have seen some amazing answers to prayer. Confidentiality stops me from giving specific examples, but believe me, there's been some amazing answers to prayer. And there's also the preparation and setting up of our occasional prayer days, which are a joy to do, because it's just amazing to see how the Spirit prompts us with just what we need. We also do a lot of praying before the services, which is essential. We're praying out there, the guys pray in here too. We're asking God to accept our worship and for the Spirit to be here with us. And we're holding everyone who's taking part in the service and who's attending up to God in prayer, because prayer underpins everything we do in God's name. And no time spent in prayer is ever wasted time. But I think that the most important thing about prayer is building trust. It's learning to give all of those things that hurt us, annoy us, give us fear, those things we don't like about ourselves or others, as well as our thanks and joys to God. Sometimes it is hard to admit to some of those more troublesome things. But once in a time of prayer during a service here, I was struggling with a couple of things. And I had a distinct sense that Jesus was holding out his hand to me, saying, "Come on, hand it over, all of it, All of those things that you don't need to be carrying, I'll carry them for you. But you must give them all to me. And that's why as well, when I can, I like to pray with the Psalms. We sang Psalm 23 this morning, which is a beautiful, beautiful prayer. And the Psalms can help us to voice our issues, which is a part of the process of handing them over. You can't hand it over unless you acknowledge it and voice it. And if you read the Psalms, you'll see that every human emotion is there. Some are raging, some are pleading, some are praising, but all of them are a heartfelt dialogue with God. And they make beautiful prayers. And if I'm stuck for words, I'll find them in the Psalms. Our second reading today was from Psalm 27, another favourite of mine. And it asks God, hear my voice when I call. Do not reject or forsake me. And verse 14 states very simply for me what prayer is all about. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. So let's pray. God, our Father, we thank you for the gift of prayer, that we can speak to you at any time and in any place about our joys, our sorrows, and our needs, and that you hear us and help us to do your will. We thank you that Jesus came and taught us how to pray and showed us his own vulnerability and how he spoke to you in prayer. And for his love for us. We thank you that even though we may not check in with you as often as we should, you welcome us and you hear us as our loving Father. We pray, increase in us the desire to pray and to spend more time with you. Send your Holy Spirit to prompt us and to guide us to speak with you and listen for your voice. We pray, your kingdom come, your will be done. I pray that everyone here will know the joy and the peace that can be found in that precious time when we take heart and wait for you in prayer. This we pray in the name of Jesus who prayed for us and still intercedes for us today and always. Amen.